Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty, now with, among other things, the latest on that Omicron subvariant. Dr. Marty, good morning. So this BA5 or whatever it's called, is that the dominant new strain in the United States?
It is. It's with its sister, BA.4, and it depends on exactly what community of the United States with. And has a little bit more dominance, but overall, yeah, BA.5. The other one that we're worried about, though, is BA.2.75, which seems to have an 18% growth advantage over the others. So we're looking at that as coming up, you know, so it seems there's always something else coming up.
And is the big worry there that these subvariants are particularly adept at evading immune protection that would be built up from prior infections and from vaccines, for that matter?
That is one of the big concerns. That is exactly one of the big concerns. And that's why you're probably going to be hearing more and more about the concept of creating a universal coronavirus vaccine. So the first thing, as you know, FDA has approved moving on to adapting our current vaccines so that they'll be able to respond to BA.4 and BA.5. That's coming this fall. But in addition, and simultaneously, and literally worldwide, we're working on trying to create a universal vaccine that will, you know, have much broad, you know, that it, as these variants form, we already have protection. That's the goal. And what I think is very interesting is we've been working on trying to make a, for example, universal flu vaccine for a while, and that knowledge and those techniques that we've been adapting for that purpose are being used to try and get to a universal vaccine for SARS-CoV-2. And what we're hoping is that if we do it right, we'll not only cover the SARS viruses, but we'll cover the MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome viruses. And once we learn how to do that, you know what comes in the future, right, Bob?
You tell me.
Well, we'll adapt into even cold viruses, so we'll really get we'll start really getting rid of all these respiratory problems.
Most of the questions that listeners have emailed and texted to us for you are along the lines of this one. If you get a second booster now, how long would you have to wait before getting the new COVID shot, assuming it were available?
Right. So the answer to that question is a regulatory question, not a scientific one, right? Because if you get it now, then within 4 months, just the way our immune system works, you're good to go. You're mm-hmm. good to go. And they're not anticipating that the new version, the one that's going to attack BA.4 and BA.5, will be available till October. So it's wise to go ahead and get that booster now, because then you'll be able to get that other booster almost as soon as it comes out.
I've been reading about all the studies recently regarding long COVID, and I know you've had a chance to look at some of them. What are we learning about long COVID, the causes, and so forth?
So there's a lot of study going on right now with long COVID because, and it's variable. It's really very interesting how we see different populations have different percentages of people ending up with long COVID. And part of that is the perception thing. Some people just sort of dismiss a little bit of fatigue and don't report it, right? So only if you do an aggressive comparison with their life before and their life, you know, after having had COVID, do you recognize that these things are there? And that's not entirely a bad thing either, because, you know, we should be optimistic about our lives and try and, you know, work our way through whatever problems we have. But the reality is, in a very significant numbers of people are getting long COVID. And not only that, Bob, but we recognize the damage that it's doing to cells in our bodies, that, and a lot of these damages are pretty much permanent damages, scarring in different areas, for example. And these sorts of things are cumulative. And that's what we're really learning, is that if you get reinfected and reinfected, you have cumulative risks for long COVID. And long COVID has tremendous neurologic problems, including increasing the risk for Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
Well, you know what I've learned this morning? I've learned what it must be like to be in one of your classes there at Florida International University, because when you were talking about vaccines and then you stopped and said, Bob, you know what comes next, don't you? And I confess, I was thinking about something else coming up in our broadcast, and I wasn't paying attention, and you caught me. So I just said, you tell me. Would that have worked? Would that have worked
no,
in your class?
not very well. Actually, my classes, I'm constantly asking the students questions, and they also know that the questions I ask in class are going to be very similar to the ones on the exams. And identical to the ones on quizzes. So they know that they better pay attention to
yeah,
the quiz.
That's a good trick. And when the students know you do that, they won't be thinking about something else or looking at their phone. It's infectious disease specialist Dr. Eileen Marty. Appreciate the information as always, Dr. Marty. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.